Recommended readings on the Black Patch Wars include The Tobacco Night Riders of Kentucky and Tennessee, 1905 to 1909 by James Nall, and On Bended Knees, The True Story of the Night Rider Tobacco War in Kentucky and Tennessee by Kentucky Supreme Court Justice Bill Cunningham. Cunningham also gives tomorrow's keynote at Murray State's Constitution Day celebration, the title of his presentation, The Fourth Amendment, The Majesty of the Ruined Tenement, references a statement attributed to William Pitt while he was speaking about the cider excise tax in the British House of Commons in 1763. Judge Cunningham gave WKMS a preview of the speech this week.
You know who William Pitt was? First Earl of Chatham, an English statesman and orator. The poorest man in his cottage bid defiance to all the forces of the crown. It may be frail, its roof may shake, the wind may blow through it, the storm may enter, the rain may enter, but the King of England may not enter. All his force dares not cross the threshold of the ruined tenement. That's basically the sentiment that's expressed by our Fourth Amendment to our Constitution. I'm sure you know that 10 amendments were passed after the original Constitution was passed. It was drafted in 1787, passed in 1789, but there was kind of a gentleman's agreement that the states would approve it on condition that they would be followed up by a Bill of Rights, which was basically 10 amendments, the fourth one being the protection against unlawful search and seizures. Basically protects us against the police state.
There are all sorts of new issues for this particular amendment, especially in the electronic age. Are you going to get into that?
I may get into some of the issues. The case law on that is moving so fast. We're beginning to edge into technology. Of course, that Katz case, U.S. versus Katz, years ago, really was one to establish the expectation of privacy, because up until then, you normally thought of an illegal search or illegal wiretapping had to do exclusively to your home. But that was a case where a man went into a phone booth, closed the door, and the phone booth was tapped, and that's when they said, no, it's not just in your own home, it's wherever you have the expectation of privacy, whether it's in your car, whether it's in your office, or whether it's in a room that you don't even own.
Well, the language is to be the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. There's some debate about whether that means privacy or is it opposed to the security of the people, meaning all of us.
Yeah.
So it's the individual right versus the right of society to be secure.
Yeah. That Fourth Amendment deals with the right of persons to be secure. And also it's debatable as to whether or not there's a right to privacy under the Ninth Amendment. You know, it says all rights not herein enumerated are reserved to the rights of the people or something of that nature. That's been interpreted by some courts to include the right to privacy, and that was where they got into all the, I think, Roe versus Wade and some of the more controversial decisions and why some people don't think there is a constitutional right to privacy, depending upon your bent, and other people think there is. But that was a privacy, Ninth Amendment issue, not a Fourth Amendment issue.
So when you're speaking about the Fourth Amendment, what exactly will be the shape of your examination?
I am going to speak about the Fourth Amendment, but my whole speech is not going to be about the Fourth Amendment. I'm going to talk about how the miracle at Philadelphia, how fragile that whole construction of the Constitution was, that it has survived down through the years with 27 amendments. I'm going to get into the history of that. I'm also going to talk a little bit about the Bill of Rights, those 10 amendments. One that very interesting to me now is the 10th Amendment, that's states' rights. And when Madison and the framers of the Bill of Rights were putting it all together, although states' rights was number 10, that was actually considered to be the most important of the whole bunch, because the resistance and opposition to the original Constitution was the federal government was going to roll right over the states, and the states weren't going to have any sovereignty. And that was the primary motivating force for any amendments at all. And then it just so happens that it was number 10. And, of course, now over the years, it's been eroded tremendously, and maybe some people think the death knell with the latest opinion by the U.S. Supreme Court on the health care bill.
As a living, breathing document, the Constitution continues to be front and center, especially this issue of states' rights, front and center in American politics today.
Yeah, I think that's the genius of it, and that's part of the miracle at Philadelphia. It wasn't just much that it got it passed, but they passed something that's endeared for 200 years. It started out a conglomeration of 13 states that were diverse, 1,400 miles long. Some of them at the convention probably had a hard time even understanding each other, diverse interest. They managed to hammer it together under the most difficult circumstances. And, you know, you had such strong personalities, but the compromise was a big issue. But then it's passed down through the years and been able to survive, really, with 17 amendments, actually, because the first 10 were kind of in conjunction with the original document.
But the interpretation of the U.S. Constitution is still very contentious.
Well, the Constitution is what the U.S. Supreme Court says it is. That's the very point of controversy, and they're constantly having to interpret it. But therein, again, that's what makes it malleable and flexible, because it is capable of being interpreted.
The Honorable Justice Bill Cunningham caps off Murray State's Constitution Day tomorrow with a keynote address at 7 o'clock in the Kerr Center Theater. Hourly scholarly discussions commence at 9:30 and continue through 3:30. All discussions are in the Friedkert Auditorium in the Industry and Technology Building, except for the 11:30 to 12:30 session on religion and the Constitution, which will be in the Barclay Room of the Kerr Center. All activities are open to the public.